Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Monday, and you know what Monday means right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, but also on the Locked On Podcast Network. By the way, your team every day. It's Mock Draft Monday. Me and Gino are about to get into another one of our favorite shows that we do all year round, where we get into a 7-round Eagles mock draft for you on the podcast. We do one normally every Monday. Last week, since there was some interesting free agent signings the Eagles made over the weekend, we got into the mock draft on Tuesday, and you can find that one and all the other mock draft Mondays on LockedOnEagles.com or on any podcast platform. As for today, me and Gino are actually going to spice it up a little bit. So Gino's going to have control of the 21st overall pick. Then, based on what he does at 21, I'll make the selection in the second round. Then he'll go third, and we'll go back and forth that way, whereas normally we kind of do it as a collaborative thing. But I thought it'd be fun today to kind of piggyback off of each other's decisions. Gino, before we get into that, though, we'll go through rounds 1 through 3 in segment 2 and rounds 4 through 7 in segment 3. I wanted to get into one of our favorite players, and I'm trying to say that as sarcastically as possible. One of our favorite Eagles cornerbacks of the past 3 seasons has signed within the NFC East, and it's Mr. Ronald Darby, and I could not be happier with this news.
I tweet it every time there's some big news that just really brings a grin to my face, and I always do it when I see the notification from wherever it may come from, Bleacher Report, ESPN, and this was one of those. I picked up my phone. I was in the grocery store getting some stuff to go back into quarantine, and I saw that Darby signed to the Washington Redskins, and I tweeted, I absolutely love the NFC East, because I in fact do. It is the most entertaining division by a landslide, in my opinion. And man, oh man, do I absolutely love how things will come full circle when Ronald Darby gets burned by a double move from DeSean Jackson.
That's what I did. And I tweeted it the minute he got signed. I said, I'm going to cry tears of joy when DeSean Jackson hits him on a slogo. I'm going to, and when Miles Sanders, when they dial up a bunch of outside runs and Darby can't tackle Miles Sanders. I can't wait, man, because it's been 3 years of frustration on our end with that, with injuries, and with a guy that has speed. And like, there's a reason the Eagles and the Bills gave him so many opportunities, because you see the athleticism and the talent. But even when he's around the ball, he just, man, he couldn't make plays on it. And I just, he was a player that Philadelphia gave so many more opportunities than I think he deserved. I think based off of, you know, his history with Schwartz, his potential, and the capital they gave up for him. And I think there were just better players that didn't get a better opportunity because of him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that both times when Darby, like the first time we re-signed him last year, I was out at the mall, and then I don't know, remember why I remember that, but then I was out at a grocery store this time, and I both times was kind of puzzled at both moves, but this time I'm a little more happy, but I'm puzzled at why a team that has seen Ronald Darby how many times? 6 times?
I mean, they saw Vernon Davis up front hurdle him week one. A 40-year-old Vernon Davis hurdled the man clear and scored a touchdown.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't understand it, but hey, it's good news for us. It's a $4 million deal for him, so with that pick, you should get a decent comp pick out of it. So I'm hoping they get something in return. But hey, I mean, Howie Roseman knows how to turn over his assets. He gave up a third for him a couple years ago, and now he's going to get something back in terms of a comp pick. I mean, you're looking at a 6th rounder right now. It's better than nothing for him, man. I mean, he won you a Super Bowl, and now you at least get something back out of a guy that hopefully will give you even more happiness moving forward when you hopefully draft some more versatile, athletic, and speed-driven wide receivers that can prey on the double move that Ronald Darby so badly cannot cover. And it's kind of funny that we talk about the sluggo, because I was reading Sports Info Solutions over the weekend. I got their rookie guide, all the guys coming in, and I read one cornerback, and I like to go to their strengths and weaknesses first just to get a picture of the player, and the weakness says gets beat on double moves, and I did not even read a single second further, and I just flipped to the next page.
We're so scarred by that.
Yeah, so was Howie Roseman, dude. I forgot he brought that up in his presser, that he said he's sick of cornerbacks getting the ball thrown over their head. So I think he's on the same page as us. And finally, they did something to turn it around and brought in Darius Slay and Nickel Robey Coleman as well. So two guys that are truly dogs and that can actually cover.
Right. And they have the athleticism and the speed that Darby has, but also, again, they actually have production on the field that Darby really has not had since I don't know, man. Like, his rookie year in Buffalo was really good. And I think since then, he's kind of been living off of that potential that he showed. And also, you know, he was a second round pick, but just especially in this defense that asked him to do a lot, they put players on an island, and often, you know, he struggled so much mentally too on the field in invert cover too. Sometimes he just looked lost out there. There was communication issues, and I think he was a huge part of that problem. So, you know, it didn't work out. He was a starter on your Super Bowl team, but even then, I want to, you know, limit the amount of credit I give him, because, man, I remember in that Super Bowl how bad he got beat by Rob Gronkowski for a couple quarters, when in the first half, Jalen Mills was holding his own on Gronk, and then they moved him to Darby's side, and because Jim Schwartz did not rotate his corner side to side, Philadelphia really did get burned there. So I'm, like you said, I'm happy that they're going to get a compensatory pick probably out of this one, a pretty good one, but also you're going to get the benefit of him still being in the NFC East, and instead of getting burned by maybe the likes of Terry McLaurin and Darius Slayton, this time hopefully he'll get burned by DeSean Jackson and maybe a rookie wide receiver. And that's what we'll get into coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Me and Gino, yeah, that's right, or four. We'll see what we do here. Me and Gino are going to get into another one of our seven-round Eagles mock drafts coming up right here on the podcast. We're going to take one quick break, and don't go anywhere. We'll come back. Gino will be on the clock at 21st overall. This is Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into another edition of Locked On Eagles, and it's another edition of Mock Draft Monday. Gino is going to go first at pick 21, then I'll go in the second round, Gino will go in the third round, then we got three fourth-round picks, and so on and so forth here. We're going to kind of switch it up with today's edition of the Mock Draft. Gino, last week we traded back, and we took wide receiver Laviska Shenault. Then we actually double-dipped at receiver. Early in the second round, we took K.J. Hamler out of Penn State. So we took a lot of explosive pass catchers for Carson Wentz to already add onto the field with DeSean Jackson. Today, before we even start up this mock draft, where is your head at with the Eagles and at pick 21? Because I know you've been thinking a lot about, you know, scenarios, trading up, trading down, the receiver position specifically, because that's the one right now. It's such a glaring need since Philadelphia did not take anybody in free agency. So just kind of in a, you know, a broader sense, where is your head at here with the Eagles in the state of 21st overall?
Since they made the move for Slay, I've dramatically shifted my thought on the pick, but also for a multitude of different reasons, because I'll break it down into two different terms. One, I'm an analytic. We know that I have an accounting degree. I look at things in terms of ratio. You lost 20% of your picks. That's not good. And Howie Roseman is somebody who says and has said in the past few months and even since last year that he needs to pick in bulk, and it's not an exact science in the draft, and nobody can get it right, and you need more picks. So I'm firmly under that belief that you need to move back and just stock up on picks. Actually, I have 3 points here. The second point is from, it's funny that this book literally just came in the mail today. I ordered The Drafting Stage, written by two guys at Over the Cap, and they were talking about how that teams that move up, they really pay what is known as like the tax for the right to pick. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at it, because that's really what you are doing when you trade up. And not many times, especially in the first round, does the team moving forward, I mean, unless you're moving up to get Patrick Mahomes, but do they really make out for what they give up? And you've seen that time and time again. But to me, moving back just opens up, once again, more versatility. I would like to get two picks if you could move back, even getting one, like a third round pick. It's something I did in a mock draft I did today with Green Bay. I moved back and I got a third and a seventh when I gave up a first and a sixth. So I think that's something that's completely plausible. And my third point to this is that if you move back, let's say, to even 31 or 32, and the big three receivers are off the board at 21, I personally, for my evaluation, have six guys in my tier two right now that I would be comfortable taking with the first pick between 30 and, let's say, 53. I do not believe that past 21 that six of those guys are going to be taken and you're going to have to dip into tier three. I think it would be a draft anomaly that would just be from like – an algorithm of the Draft Network's mock draft that hit one out of a million times, that six wide receivers went in nine picks in the first round. I just think that would be insane. And I firmly believe that any of those guys I have in my tier two, I would be okay with picking at between. I don't want to pick them at 21 because I think it's an over evaluation on their behalf, and I think there'll be better defensive talent. But to move back, grab a position of need, and grab more picks, I just think that's huge and something I would be comfortable with, knowing how I think this draft is going to fall past 21.
And that's the route we took last week. We moved back to 34th overall. We collected an extra third-round pick, so the Eagles right now have one third. They had two. They gave up one to the Detroit Lions in that Darius Slade trade, so we collected an extra third-round pick back. We moved up because we did give them one of our late fourth-round draft picks, but I really liked that. We got a guy in Laviska Shenault who... I know Justin Jefferson and Denzel Mims are all the rage right now in Eagles Twitter, and they're the popular top two choices in the national media as well when it comes to mock drafts, getting Philadelphia at 21, who they select. But for me, I think there's better players and better fits for this Eagles offense that I like better personally that will be available maybe later because guys like Jefferson and Mims do push them down the board, and guys like Shenault, guys like Brandon Ayuk, KJ Hamler, Jalen Reagor are players that I would prefer anyway over those two guys I mentioned at pick 21. So if you can move down, that would be all the rage, really. But Gino, let's get into this mock draft right here. We'll start this up. Obviously, Joe Burrow goes number one overall to the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, this is up to you. We can see what we want to do here. Obviously, last week we did move down, so I think that's the popular choice. But right here, looking at the board, the top three receivers are gone off the board at 21. Where's your head at if you kind of look at what's happened here? Henry Ruggs goes 12 to the Las Vegas Raiders. CeeDee Lamb goes to the Niners at 13. And then Jerry Jeudy goes at 15 to the Broncos. So at that point, I remember what you were saying. There's got to be better defensive talent at 21 if the top three aren't available. But even so, I mean, Xavier McKinney's off the board. I would say the best safety in this class out of Alabama. Clavon Chazon, the high upside edge rusher out of LSU, went 16 to the Falcons. Even Jeff Gladney and Grant Delpit, two corners and safeties, went 19 and 20. So, but there's a guy sitting right at the top here that if he were to fall, I know the Eagles just signed Javon Hargrave and they have Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox. But man, Javon Kinlaw is one of the best players in this draft, and he fell to 21.
This is the exact
is this too rich of a pick though? I mean, is this like, would they take a fourth defensive tackle?
A top 10 player, man. That's like true. I said this the exact same thing last year, that if Simmons is there, I'm taking him. You know, like, you don't need a defensive tackle, but you take the best player for your system, and Kinlaw is just that. I would look at the idea of Christian Fulton. I am higher on some of the safeties than a lot of people are, especially Jeremy Chinn, who I think a lot of people expect this Darnell Savage-esque type rise out of and could potentially be a first-round pick.
He's the Isaiah Simmons of the FCS. I mean, I love 100%. Jeremy Chinn. I wouldn't be opposed at all at 21, to be honest with you. I think he's too low right now in evaluations.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what I would say. I would go with Chinn. I like Kinlaw, but man, I really think Chinn is going to have that meteoric rise, and we've heard it from multiple different places. I think you can just go around and hear that chatter and look at some of the analytics that have charted the meteoric rises, and you talk about Denzel Mims having quite the rise in mock drafts. Chinn was outside of the top 300 or outside of the top 150, 300 days ago, and now he's inside of the top 30 of players. And as much as I love Kyle Duggar, Jeremy Chinn is exactly what you need back there, and he could be the future at a position which, yeah, defensive tackle, you know what you're doing. Safety, it's a whole lot of question marks past this year. So to
Chinn too is so versatile. I mean, you could move him.
Oh, yeah.
You could play him. I feel like he is Simmons, where almost you're doing a disservice to Chinn and his potential if you're just keeping him at one spot.
That's what they need, versatility. And we're preaching that, and we practice what we preach here at the Locked On Eagles podcast. So we talked about versatility. I just think what they have up front with those three guys and Malik Jackson, Hargrave, and Fletcher Cox, especially with Hassan Ridgeway, there's going to be a deep defensive tackle pool that I think you could dip into on day three. But to me, Jeremy Chinn, like, if you don't get him now, somebody's going to come up and grab him in that mid 20 to 30 spot. I firmly believe it. We saw it with Darnell Savage last year because of one thing, his versatility. Teams love that. And his athleticism is through the freaking roof. So, yeah, man, if you're on board, I wasn't going to get crazy with this mock, but we're going crazy here in quarantine. Like, let's get even crazier. Let's go with my boy.
Yeah, and the board didn't fall exactly the way I would have liked it. I mean, there's a lot of guys that just went in the top recently, the last five picks that I would have really liked. Obviously, a guy like Jerry Jeudy, Clavon Chaisson, even C.J. Henderson and Jeff Gladney, two corners I like, and then two safeties. So a lot of secondary. The last four picks were corners and safeties. It was Henderson, McKinney, Gladney, and Grant Delpit. So not ideal. And in this kind of scenario, I think you could do a lot worse than taking Jeremy Chinn, the safety out of Southern Illinois. So you take him, and that's the thing, Gino. I know safety isn't as dire of a need now that you brought back Rodney McLeod. You sign Will Parks, you bring back Jalen Mills, and you move him in the Malcolm Jenkins role. But this is a pick that they still, it's a future need. Or it could be, because Parks is only on a one-year contract, Mills is only on a one-year contract, McLeod's an older player that's only on a two-year deal. So Chinn would be a future core piece of your defense for sure. And right now, you could move him around the formation, play him in some linebacker too, and you'd go from there.
We always talked about, especially last year when they went ahead and drafted JJ, that they always want to look to the future when they're drafting. They're not drafting for this year, and we've seen that. I mean, look at Andre Dillard. Look at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The only one that they really got for last year was Miles Sanders, and that was a need for 3 to 4 years. So you finally address a need at safety, and now you still have a deep pool of wide receivers to do whatever the heck you want here, because there's going to be guys that fall to 53 that really have piqued our fancy. I know this is like Brandon Ayuk territory,
somebody that
you and I love. This is Van Jefferson, if you really love him, territory. But there are some guys here that I expect them to be producing on offense come day one next year.
So right now we're at 53. Laviska Shenault actually went at 51 to Dallas. I could see maybe trade ups can happen outside of just the first round people. And if a guy like Shenault fell, I could see them pulling a little Dallas Goedert 2.0 and moving up right in front of Dallas and picking off Shenault. But because right now on the board still Jalen Reagor is there, KJ Hamler, and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not sure how realistic that this is. I think the Draft Network's ranking of Ayuk is way too low as the 63rd overall prospect. I think he's going to go in the first round. Because of this scenario, I would not move up for somebody like Shenault. Gino, of the three, I'm tossed. I love Reagor, Hamler, and Ayuk. But to be honest with you, I think Ayuk is the top guy I would take right now outside of the top three. If Jeudy, Ruggs, and CeeDee Lamb are pipe dreams, personally, I think Ayuk is actually the player with the most upside and the guy that can help you immediately right away. Justin Jefferson, even KJ Hamler, those are guys, and the Eagles need slot help, but they're more slot dominant. I mean, Hamler played 90% inside. I think Jefferson was almost 100% last year with LSU. Ayuk's a guy that has their Hamler, Shenault's explosiveness, amazing run after the catch ability. He's 6'1". He played outside at Arizona State. He's got crazy length. I mean, even yesterday, I was watching some of his tape against your Oregon Ducks and against Oregon State, where he almost had 200 receiving yards in both games. And, man, he was turning guys inside out. Great route runner. I think he's better than his former teammate, N'Keal Harry. And I think you're going to see him, honestly, go in the first round. But for the sake of value right now, I think Ayuk is the preference over Hamler and Reagor.
I think that some team is going to fall in love with KJ Hamler and just the idea of him and overdraft him like Paris Campbell got overdrafted last year.
Or even Mecole Hardman, you saw his speed. I mean, Hardman, it's at one point last year on our Locked in the Mocks, we were getting him in the fourth round, and he went early in the second.
100%. He went right ahead of JJ, and I think that's why they ended up with JJ, because they probably wanted Mecole. But
yeah,
we're not going to live in the past, because it's still a sore subject to me, and much like Nasir Adderley and Juan Thornhill. But hey, we're getting a safety this year. We're going to have a good one in Jeremy Chinn. But I agree that I would also go out and get Brandon Ayuk. I like what he can do inside and out. He has proven it on the field. I think you have a lot of question marks with Jalen Reagor and a lot of question marks with Hamler. Hamler is purely a slot guy. He ran 90% of his snaps out of the slot last year. You're not going to be able to move him around. Say Alshon isn't on the team next year, you're going to have to rely on JJ much more than I think this team wants to. So to me, it's down to Rager or Aiyuk, and I just love Aiyuk's versatility. Like, I do believe Rager is a special player in his own right, but to me, every time I watch Aiyuk, it's like, okay, if he finds space, he's gonna get to the end zone, you know.
And he's like a player too that you can throw it up to, contest it, and you know, again, he's only 6'1", but I mean, the Gino, he's such an interesting player because you see the arms. I mean, he looks, it's incredible the length.
Yeah, it's seriously unbelievable how long his arms are.
Like, is it fair to guy here's like, my comp? I don't know. I think he's a better route running, faster version of Deebo Samuel.
It's understandable what you see that from. I think a lot of the slot touches you probably compare that
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I kind of like the way Arizona State used him. The way they used him kind of reminded me of how the Niners used Deebo last year.
Yeah, and I also think Arizona State did him a lot of disservice last year too in how they used him. Like I think Doug Peterson would do a much better job of working with Brandon Aiyuk than what Herm and his team did down there. And that's why I would love to get him into this offense, because he has the athleticism. On tape, he moves so freaking well in space. You get him the ball in your hand, both on the outside and on the inside. I like how he gets off the ball. Yeah, he has questions against press, but hey man, he's good. He's really good, and I don't care what you want to say about Pac-12 receivers. Brandon Aiyuk is one-of-a-kind player, in my opinion. Like, this guy gets the ball in his hand. It is just, it's like a home run derby every time he has the ball. Like, I'm just waiting for him to hit the home run, especially when you see the end zone view. It's like you see where his eyes are looking. Like, he's going to the end zone. But, I mean, that's not always how it works out, but you know that he has the mental processing, he has the athleticism, he has the length for days, he has the size that you want. I mean, he weighed in excellent at the combine. Player in my book that he's going to contribute day one next year, without a doubt.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Rager. I love Hamler. I think their explosiveness, I think you can move them around the formation. I think they would fit in great in Philadelphia. Don't get me wrong. But I think Aiyuk presents that kind of upside athletically and with speed. But also, I think he right now can be someone that isn't just a slot receiver for you. Even like Justin Jefferson, I don't know if he could ever become a wide receiver one for you. And I think if you're taking a guy this high in the first or second round, you want that kind of potential. And even with Hamler, you know, there's some top receivers that play, mostly in the slot. Adam Thielen of Minnesota mostly plays, you know, inside. So I wouldn't be opposed to those guys. But I think Aiyuk just presents a lot of immediate help. Versatility, upside. I just think he's the outside of Chenault. I think outside of the top three, it would be between him and Chenault. And I like Aiyuk, so I'm happy with getting him at 53. I would do what we did last week and move down at 34 and snag him up. So we get two players that I think we're both really in love with here. Jeremy Chinn at 21, the safety out of Southern Illinois. Brandon Aiyuk at 53, wide receiver out of Arizona State. We're up on the clock here again, Gino, at 103. I'm feeling good about this. What are you thinking? Linebacker, we could use maybe another corner, a high upside edge rusher. Don't forget, too, offensive line. I mean, it gets kind of barren around this part of the draft with offensive line help, but they need depth as well in that area.
Dude, people are going to hate us on this mock because I think your last point and one point that we haven't touched on is that the Eagles have no swing tackle right now.
Right.
Like, unless they really love Jordan Mailata, which, talk about question marks, is the biggest question mark to date. I love the idea of going interior because you don't know what Jason Kelsey is going to do. But man, Ben Bartsch is like prime for the picking in this part of the draft. And he would be like a future swing tackle. Maybe you can move him into guard in situational spots, but you really need a future swing tackle, and the Eagles are always in the business of developing players at high quality positions. I mean, look at what Big V has done for them. Not only did he help them win a Super Bowl, he also is going to get them their highest comp pick this year when it comes down to it. I mean, if things don't cancel out, but Ben Bartsch is a guy that you could put on both sides of the offensive line. He is a very quick player. I got to see him down in Mobile. Comes from a small school, but you really need offensive line help. Like, I would love to take Troy Dye here. I would love to go cornerback, but
Van
I think
Jefferson's
can,
on the board. That's our guy out of Florida, another receiver. But I
for
like
sure,
where your head's
but
at,
like
man.
This offensive tackle class kind of stinks. To
well, and because like, and because you have such little depth on the offensive line, not just tackle and guard. What you can make up for that right now with losing Jason Peters and Halepulivahti Vaitai is by having versatility. So having a Barch or, you know, right now Matt Pryor is, okay, mm-hmm. you could suffer an injury at guard or tackle, and you kind of have a backup for both of those in one player. So if you could add another guy like that and Ben Barch here, I don't think people are – I think because of how much wide receiver is the talk of the town – the offensive line losses this offseason is kind of being overlooked, and with how much the Eagles organization prioritizes both lines, I think this would be a very realistic selection at 103.
I would still expect them to bring in a veteran at some point, but yeah, man, they have to keep in the business of getting young guys, because look at the guys that they've taken in the last couple late rounds. Matt Pryor, 6th-round pick, has done great things for him. Big V was a 5th-round pick. Isaac Seumalo was a 3rd-round pick. I'm in the business for taking guys, especially in the offensive line, in these mid-rounds. Ben Barch is a guy for me that you can develop and bring him along to be something that you can use depth-wise for this team.
Yeah, Gino, I'm into this mock draft so far. I don't know how people are going to feel about it with Jeremy Chinn at 21, but you get me Chinn, that kind of upside. Again, I really do think he is Isaiah Simmons light. You get Brandon Aiyuk at 53, that's incredible value. And then at 103, Ben Barch, a very versatile offensive lineman from St. John. And he's also athletic, and I think the Eagles love that. And their offensive linemen being able to get up to the first and second level, and the third level even at times, you know, in the run game, and having that athleticism in the pass blocking game as well, I think is something that, you know, with Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelce, Jason Peters, they do prioritize heavily. So, I like our draft so far.
I do too. It's not a fan-friendly one, I would say, because they want receivers and weapons. But, yeah, this is how the team is built,
man. I think Aiyuk's that, man. I think people are going to be very happy with Aiyuk.
Oh, I can agree at that. But everybody's going to be mad that we probably reached for Chinn a little bit. We could have went doubled up at wide receiver, got Van Jefferson there at 103, but this team needs trench help, like in the worst way, and they addressed it on the defensive line, and I fully expect the draft to be somewhere where Howie goes after offensive line, especially for how much Stoutland does with that offensive line, and he's the run game coordinator, and how much he was around those prospects at the combine. He was running drills with them, so I fully expect them to go offensive line at some point in this class.
All right, so we go with Jeremy Chinn, the safety out of Southern Illinois, at the first pick, 21 overall. Brandon Aiyuk, the wide receiver out of Arizona State, in the second round at 53 overall. And then at 103 in the third round, we take Ben Barch, the offensive tackle out of St. John. We got 3 fourth round picks coming up, a couple more here in this draft right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. We got to hit a quick break and then we'll come back. I'm on the clock here at 127. Don't go anywhere. This is Lockdown Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back into our final segment here of another edition of Mock Draft Monday right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. So me and Gino, so far, we took a incredibly versatile, high upside safety at 21 overall, Jeremy Chinn. Gino, I don't think he, I know maybe right now that might be seen as a reach, but I think Grant Delpit's stock has really gone down. And I think outside of Xavier McKinney, I think you could argue Jeremy Chinn's the second best, you know, traditional safety. And I don't even want to call him a traditional safety, but a guy that everyone, you know, visualizes as a safety. Because you could argue Isaiah Simmons is also in that category. But, you know, I think people will draft him, seeing him more so as a linebacker. I think by the time the draft rolls around in a couple of weeks, I don't know if that will be seen as a reach. And then with Aiyuk at 53, he's another guy in the first round. When it's all said and done, he could go in the first round, and I wouldn't say it's a reach by that time either.
Hard to argue with you there. I think you made great points. I think I'll keep saying that Jeremy Chinn is going to be the Darnell Savage selection of this class for that reason, the versatility. Teams love it. I agree with the Delpit fall, and rightfully so. He has some tackling concerns. He has some competitive toughness concerns. He didn't run. He wasn't down in Mobile. But guys that were out there competing, like Jeremy Chinn and Kyle Duggar and the Antoine Winfields, are going to continue to rise up the boards. I think that this safety class is going to be a very intriguing one past Simmons. It's going to be definitely something that I think the good general managers can capitalize on, and I think some of them are just going to go the old route and draft box safeties and really miss on the guys like Jeremy Chinn and the Antoine Whitfields, those guys that can really fly around back there.
All right, so we're up on the clock here at pick 127 overall in the fourth round. Again, we went with Jeremy Chinn, Brandon Ayuk, and then Ben Bartsch with our first three picks. Ben Bartsch, an offensive tackle out of St. John. So right now, Gino, I'm thinking my head's at maybe an upside edge rusher, maybe a linebacker, or a cornerback, although I don't really love what's available at corner. Also wide receiver, they're going to double dip in this class, but right now at 127, the top players available, Gabriel Davis out of UCF, not a big fan of him. Colin Johnson out of Texas, if you want to double down on the size behind JJ, but Devin Duvernay, if you want to add another speed guy in the slot, your boy Antonio Gandy-Golden. I really like some of the other late round guys we could get at the receiver class. So I want to wait at receiver here. Corner, not a big fan of what's available. And even linebacker, I'm looking at like Justin Strnad and Logan Wilson and thinking I can come back around later and grab one of those guys. So
I think Logan Wilson is going to be drafted higher than this right. mock draft machine says that it's going to be. But they did meet with the backer out of Davion Taylor out of Colorado.
Yes.
I know they like him, and this would be prime territory for him. And they're going to that athletic style linebacker, and you really can see it. But the thing is, I feel like you can get in one of those guys next couple rounds. And here, this is your pick, though, Lou. So this is whatever you're feeling. This is all on you.
I've been kind of harping on this for a couple months now that I'm not looking to replace Derek Barnett right now. Brandon Graham still, last year, 8.5 sacks, looked incredible still, playing inside and outside on the defensive line.
Dude, his style of play, he can play for, 4 or 5 more years.
And that's what I'm saying.
Because he's just a high-motor guy. As long as he stays in shape and he stays, physically fit, I think he can be fine.
And then you have Josh Sweat, who really came into his own in year two. So you're okay right now on the edge, but I really want to add another high-upside guy when it comes to just, athleticism, physical gifts, because, again, Brandon Graham, he could play for another long time, but I want to add another guy here to double down with Josh Sweat, because Vinny Curry, I don't think will be back next year. And just in case, you do want to eventually replace Derek Barnett with a better guy, I'm looking at Alton Robinson here again, Gino. I know we took him last week out of Syracuse, I love his explosive first step. I couldn't get my guy Daryl Taylor, Josh Uche earlier. So I'm looking at Alton Robinson, and I'm saying at 127, I think this is good value for a player that I think right now isn't a finished product, but give him a year or two, let him rotate in with Sweat, as your 3 and 4 defensive end, and I think he could turn into something even more later on.
Yeah, I think this is our our go-to pick, but right.
He's one of our guys.
I really like Alton as a player. His athleticism, it didn't show to be on tape, but what we saw at the combine, it really, that was the one big question mark I had with him, because the production was there. He's got the tool set. He's got everything you want in an edge, and he's got the compete level that the Eagles love. He's got the motor. To me, that's a home run pick there, right where I have his value anyway.
All right, fourth round guy. So you're up here at 145. We get back-to-back picks here at 145 and 146. We've got a receiver, an offensive lineman, a safety, an edge rusher. What are you thinking now? You could maybe go linebacker, corner, double down at receiver.
Yeah, I'm looking corner here. I really have been digging the idea of Harrison Hand. He's got the
local
size.
Kid.
Yeah, local kid at Temple. I feel like that'll be a big advantage if they could get more information on him, because I'm sure they have more sources in that building that they could get info on a guy like that. He's a guy that really fits that CB2 mold well. Kind of like that Shaquille Griffin rise we had a couple years ago from UCF,
right,
when he was under the radar, really fits that zone cover two role well. He gets after the ball in the air, and what they want to do on that CB2 side is probably do a lot what they did with Maddox last year and shade a safety to his side and try and play a lot of those cover two type ideologies, especially with Slay on the other side. And Harrison Hand is a guy that I feel can go out there and compete. 6'1", 192. He can come up. He's a willing tackler. Somebody that, to me, they like those guys that can get after the ball. if you're going to ship out Rasul Douglas, which I think they still have the intention to, Harrison Hand, to me, would be a nice replacement to bring in there.
Yeah, and then you bring him in, he competes with Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox, so you don't bring in a guy that's going to replace Maddox and Jones right away, but maybe has the potential to if they don't get out of Sidney Jones what they want or Maddox. So I like Harrison Hand here, the corner out of Temple. So
and he's got dreadlocks, bro. Just add it to the crew at corner. Sidney, Avante, and him. That'd be perfect.
And so there we go. Harrison Hand, the cornerback out of Temple at 145.
He'll replace Darby. There we go. Perfect.
There you go. There you go. And I hope he'll be better than that. At 146 here, our final pick in the fourth round. So not going to go corner again here. Even at receiver again, Gino, I like Devin Duvernay, but again, I'm looking at some of the options later on and thinking that I'm okay still there with Brandon Ayuk. I don't know, linebacker. Shaquille Quarterman's a player I like as, you know, he's a very sure-handed tackler. I think in base packages, first and second down, he'd be pretty good, but there's not a lot of upside with him. I think you were talking about Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. And
I love Logan Wilson,
I think at 183, like you said, I think he is underrated here with this ranking. So there,
dude,
if you want to go safe,
400 plus tackles
right
at Wyoming. He played safety. He can actually tackle and actually understands how to read
defense.
So he's
like a better Nate Geary?
Yeah, he's like everything they wanted Nate Geary to be.
Right,
and,
yeah, exactly.
Lou, I forgot to tell you this. We've officially hit the point of crazy season that somebody tweeted today. I'm not going to call him out, but they tweeted that I think Nate Geary was an underrated Eagle last year.
Oh.
And I logged off Twitter for quite some time after that. But we're in crazy season. For
I think people are getting to the point where they're trying to convince themselves of that because he might be a player that's on every down, which is terrifying. But let's try to give the Eagles some more options here. I think if you want to go safe and maybe add another player to compete with TJ Edwards, you go a Jacob Phillips or Shaquille Quarterman, but I'm looking for more out of linebacker here, so I'll go with Logan Wilson, the linebacker out of Wyoming, which is, I think, really, really good value with that final pick in the fourth round. I like what you said. I think he's...
Apparently the Eagles love him, too.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about
which
that.
Which makes sense. Again, if they're a team that loves Nate Geary, I don't know why, but they do, so they clearly like that prototype, and I think Wilson has the potential to be just a better version.
100%.
All right, so you're up here at 168, fifth round. Is this the time maybe to go back in at wide receiver? I mean, you like a lot of the later guys, too. You were doing...
Get the big board here.
Yeah,
dude, I was in the depths of this
wide
receiver class.
You were really in the depth. You're watching what, John Hightower out of Boise, Quez Watkins out of Southern Miss?
I was watching Jeff Thomas out of Miami.
Yeah.
Kid is unbelievable. Had a bunch of games where he averaged over 20 yards a reception, just has some off-field concerns. But I tweeted this either today or the other day that I really think they have the opportunity to fulfill that slot wide receiver role. And if you want Ayuk to play on the outside, or even if you want some interchangeable guys, I think this is like perfect territory to go about and do that. Like, imagine them running concepts with like him and James Prochet, or like just imagine that, or like a guy like I'm a big fan of Austin Mack out of Ohio State as well. I fully believe that a guy like John Hightower would be an excellent pick here. Like Brandon Ayuk could be your intermediate guy, 15 yards, and then Hightower just spread the field. I think that's a good pick there. I think this is a perfect territory to go wide receiver again. And
can I ask why James Prochet is so low out of SMU? Daniel Jeremiah today tweeted he thinks Prochet might have the best hands of this draft.
He does, man. Like he caught like 95% of his passes last year, if I have that correct. He's unbelievable. But I think the same thing about Hightower, dude. I think he's a guy that really can stretch the field, just didn't play high-level football out in the Mountain West. But to me, if the Eagles' offense runs how you want it to, John Hightower fits in. He can be in the slot. He could play out wide. You play him off the line of scrimmage and allow him to use his athleticism and get into the back pocket. He has that speed. To me, Hightower and Ayuk right now would be two heck of a good wide receivers to add to Carson Wentz's arsenal, and you might even get another good one in the next round, or you might hit the UDFA pool, because look at the guys beyond this. Like, there's going to be 20 to 30 decent wide receivers you can get in this UDFA pool.
Don't sleep on my boy Tristan Jackson out of Syracuse.
Say that five times.
I know, Tristan. Yeah, man. Because it's Tristan.
I'm on Hightower. I've been riding his wave.
Let's take your guy.
I think he can be a good player for this team.
And again, like he was lower than a lot of these receivers on this board, but when you're in the fifth round at that point, I'm just looking for, you know, the players that you really like that have the upside, and to me, I don't think that's that big of a reach at all.
Speed, athleticism, and the route running. Go check my Twitter at @Gino_LOE and look at my thread of John Hightower and look at the last route that he ran. It was the exact route that Stephon Diggs absolutely smoked. Was it Rasul Douglas and Ronald Darby on last year? Like that deep post. Oh my God. It was disgusting. And let him do that at Ronald Darby come next year. It would be fantastic.
I think the Eagles are going to add another veteran running back here. LeSean McCoy is advocating for his reunion like DeSean Jackson had last year in Philadelphia. I think they will go a route like that before this draft, but I think to add a fourth running back here, add some more competition. You know, you've had success around this late in the draft and also undrafted players. Corey Clement in 2017, you know, even for what Josh Adams wasn't, he was, I think, their most efficient running back in 2018, and you got him undrafted as well. So coming around here in the 2020 NFL draft, I think round six at pick 190, I think a guy like, you know, Darius Anderson, Gino, out of TCU, I don't
electric.
Hate that idea.
He's electric.
Exactly. So maybe go with continue that thing that Howie Roseman talked about in his interview last week, how they wanted to improve team speed on both sides of the ball. So I think we'll continue to do that at running back here and bring in Darius Anderson.
Heck yeah, man. People wanted Rager. They wanted a TCU guy. But, man, Darius Anderson, he is a lightning rod. That would be a heck of a trio in the backfield next year.
All right, so I think that's all our picks, right?
Yeah, that's a good class, man. I really like this group.
I do too. Jeremy Chinn, Brandon Ayuk, Ben Bartsch, Alton Robinson, Harrison Hand, Logan Wilson, John Hightower, and Darius Anderson. I mean, you have your just versatile Swiss Army knife of a safety at Chinn, you know, at 21. You bring in your wide receiver, one of the future, in Brandon Ayuk. Him and DeSean Jackson is an electric 1-2 punch. You bring in, hopefully, your next big V swing tackle in Ben Bartsch, a high upside edge rusher in Alton Robinson, another guy to compete with Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox and Harrison Hand. Hopefully, your better version of Nate Geary and Logan Wilson. Then another speed receiver in John Hightower out of Boise State, and then some more speed with Darius Anderson. I think this it's a unique mock draft, Gino, and it's different than what we've done in the past, but this is one of my favorites, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I fully expect them to trade back when all said and done. I fully expect them to trade out of one of those 145 or 146 picks, just because I don't expect them to draft back-to-back. And they're going to add some more, but for right now, man, I think that's a good 8 picks. I think we hit a lot of needs, and we got a lot of team speed on both sides of the ball.
All right, brother, so we'll get to our next mock draft next Monday, and me and Gino will be back tomorrow for another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. So make sure you subscribe on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com, and follow us on Twitter at @DiBiaseLOE and at @Gino_LOE. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.